Could stand and turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. I get myself together here. Matthew chapter 6, we will continue with our Sermon on the Mountain. And we're coming to almost an end of Matthew, of the Sermon on the Mountain, So if you ever come to the Sermon on the Mountain. Sermon on the Mountain starts in Matthew chapter 5 and ends in Matthew chapter 7. So it is a long sermon where Jesus uses a lot of topics here. And let's look at verse 25. And of course, let's look there, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Look what it says. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither they reap, nor get it into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, and how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall ye not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought of for the things of itself. Sufficient is the day, is the evil thereof. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a lesson you give us here this morning in this passage. Lord, many people live their lives saturated with worry. They worry about everything. They go from worry to worry. That's the way they live their lives. Help us, Lord, to trust you, not to worry about things. Lord, 99% of the worries of our mind don't even come to pass. I pray, Father, help us today. Help me to deliver this message. Teach me as I teach. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, last Sunday we looked at the subject of refocus, and today we're going to continue focus. We're going to change a little bit. Even the titles are more similar. Is focus on Jesus. What we hear seeing in this passage is Jesus trying to get these people's attention about focusing on what is important in life. Some people think what is important in life is money in the bank, a good house, a good car, good vacations, and everything else is okay. As long as they have all that, everything is fine. Oh, listen, that's not the way God designs us to be. That's not the way life should be about. Because those things can disappear in a moment. You can't have your money in the bank until the stock market crashes and there goes your money. You can get a car accident and there goes your car. So it's not what we think, what we say. This is not part of my lesson, but somebody showed this to me this morning, and I tell you the author after I'm done, and I said, can you print this out? And I want to read it. Look what it says. Worry. Why worry? What can worry do? It never keeps a trouble from overtaking you. It gives you indigestion and wakeful hours at night. It fills with gloom the days. Whatever fear and bright. Pray. Why pray? What can pray do? Praying really changes things, arranges life anew. It's good for your digestion, gives you peaceful sleep at night, and fills the gravest, gloomiest day with rays of gloomy light. Author unknown, the person given to me, Caitlin. So she showed me that. I said, oh, that goes with my lesson this morning. Can I have that? So she printed for me. So, you know, that was not my words. It was Caitlin's. I mean, she got it from somewhere, but, you know, I'll give credit to her because she mentioned that to me. So last week we spoke about refocusing our lives and our minds in the things of the Lord. Now that you have learned to refocus, today we are going to learn to focus. I used the binoculars last week. Remember that? We need to refocus our lives in some things, the things that matter the most. But as we refocus, we need to stay focused on the things that are important in life for us. So looking at our text today, we will notice that Jesus is talking about worry here. Worry is a problem in the lives of so many people. Some people, they worry sick. But if we're going to stay focused on Jesus, worry should not be something that lives in your house. How can you say that you trust God when you worry every day? That's not trust. To stay focused on Jesus, trust is a must. You don't understand, I have to worry. Why? Because that's me. I need to worry. I'll tell you what, a person that is really worried. They'll go to the stove and put a pot with water in and put it on, and every two minutes goes and looks in the pot. Everyone looks in. What are you doing? Oh, the water's going to boil. I'm going to come out of this. You're going to boil. And the stove's going to make a mess. Oh, my word. Why are you worried about it? See, people are worried about everything and they worry sick. So to stay focused on Jesus, trust is a must. You must trust His Word. You must trust His person. And you must trust His guidance for your life. Let me give you a story. This is a story of two birds. I named the birds. One is Carlitos, okay? Carlitos, okay? Because of this guy. Carlitos was a bird that had lots of years of experience living as a bird. He had a young son named Paulito. Okay? So you got Carlitos and you got Paulito, okay? So Carlitos wanted to teach Paulito how to get worms and eat for breakfast. So Carlitos flew with his son to the nearest patch of grass and looked around until he saw a worm slingering under the grass. He quick picked the grass and pulled the worm out of the ground. Paulito was so impressed and couldn't wait to try to do it himself. Then Paulito seemed to be concerned. "What's wrong, Paulito?" asked Carlitos. "Dad, what if the worms won't be here tomorrow? What if they all be suddenly gone? What's going to happen to us?" Carlito smiled at his son and calmly said, "Son, the worms will never run out. They're always going to be here. God promised the worms for us every day. They were here yesterday, they are here today, and they will be here tomorrow." Carlito seemed relieved and started looking for his own worm after that statement from his father. So you see, birds have nothing to worry about when it comes to their provision. Their provision is always there. I don't see animals worried about. God's creation don't worry about anything. We do. We're the ones who are always worried about something. See, Jesus speaks to us today in this passage about the focus we have to put towards the things of this world. Do not focus so much on the things of this world that cause you to worry sick. Remember last week's lesson, refocus? Where is your focus? Jesus is not continuing that theme by pointing out that sometimes we are to refocus on the things, but focus on Him. You know why? Because if we focus ourselves in the things of this world, many times we get worried about things. Have you ever tried to reassure someone when they are worried about something and you know everything is going to be okay? "Don't worry, it's going to be okay." But you don't understand. "Please, don't worry, it's going to be just fine." But you don't understand. "I understand, I know. Don't worry." I'm thinking about my mother. Am I preaching to you, all right? My mother is the worst. She's worry sick. "Mom, that's okay. Don't you worry, Mom." Maybe I should put my mom here. "Don't worry, Mom. It's going to be okay. We're going to have food tomorrow, okay? That's okay. You're going to be a... Listen, if I tell my mother this, Mom, I'll be at your house tomorrow at 7 o'clock. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to pick whatever it is. You know what? She's there 2 hours, ready to go before I get there. If I get there at 8, I already got like 30 phone calls. It's like, it is like, Mom, I'll be there. But you said you're going to be here at 7. It's okay. Oh, goodness. So why worry? We are going to learn that we have to need not to worry. Have you ever tried, like I said, to reassure these people? You might say to them, no need to worry. Yes, right. They even don't sleep all night because they're so concerned. They're tossed from one side to the other. They get up. They come back to bed. They go downstairs. Get a glass of water. They go back to bed. They don't sleep because they're all worried. Let's look at this passage from several points this morning about worry. Why worry when God is in control? Number one. Why worry when God is in control? All right, look at this. Look at verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. All right. So, my son lost his job. He's looking for a job. Does God know that he lost his job? Yeah, of course he does. Why worry? Ask the Lord to give you another one. Oh, but I want one tomorrow. He will give it to you in the right time. See, that's what happens. See, we need to trust God. And God says, don't be like the Gentiles. Don't be like the unsaved people of this world that worry about everything. Trust me. I know your needs before you ask. Folks, so many things that you and I worry about every day. There are so many things. Each day is filled with all kinds of circumstances, all kinds of events, all kinds of adventures, and all those things are great ingredients for us to worry. Some of us worry so much that we even lose sleep overnight. But let me tell you, some of us are like this. Get up in the morning, oh, life is so good. Isn't it wonderful? Hey, worry, where are you? Get over here. I need you. I missed you. Where were you last night? And they go on through the day with the way. They don't feel right if they don't worry about something. Now, we're going to talk about concern and worry. Because concern is one thing, worry is another. Alright? So, don't you know that 95% of the things that you worry about never comes to pass? Isn't that interesting? So, why stress? Why anxiety? Why worry about things that you cannot control? Why? If you keep your mind and your heart and your eyes focused on the Lord, worry will be a foreign foe to you. But if you take your eyes off the Lord and focus on the circumstances, on your problems, on your fears, worry will move into your house and will sleep in the same bed that you sleep. Worry will invite herself in and will take control of your mind and heart. And a lot of people suffer from that. Letter A, God knows of your needs. Folks, we're talking here about a personal God who knows about a personal person like yourself. God knows about your needs. So why do I pray? Because it's out of your control. God can do the impossible. Why we pray? I said I would share this with the kids this morning. Why do we pray? We pray because it's out of our hands. We ask God for some things we cannot do. And we know that He can do it. So why worry? Why am I going to worry? I cannot do it. Only Him can do. So I'm going to, Lord, I'm going to ask you and I'm going to wait for you to bring it to pass. So, God knows your needs. God knows if you're hungry. God knows if you don't have anything. God knows if you don't have shoes. God knows if you're destitute. God knows of you. God knows everything. Actually, God knows about you more than you know about yourself. That's our God. How many hairs do you have in your head? Robert? But God knows. See how much He knows about you? He knows. See, our God is more powerful than our problems. If God is powerful enough to take care of His creation, His birds, His fishes, all the wildlife, don't you think that God can take care of you and me? Stay focused on the Lord and not on your problems. You will have victory over worry. Did you ever heard this song? Don't worry, be happy. Actually, it's a song out there. It was in the early 80s. This guy comes out from, I don't know, what, I think it was Hawaii or whatever. He comes out with his clothes. Don't worry, be happy. That's what we need to sing. Don't worry, be happy. Because, you know, sometimes we worry sick about things. We make ourselves sick for no reason. So why worry? I'll give you an example. So my mother called me. It was my mother again. And she gives this big movie that her water tank is busted, is leaking. And I said, Mom, we'll take care of it. So I went there. And, of course, I look at it like, yeah, I need a new tank. And, of course, you take two pieces out and shut off the valves and push that thing out and put another one in. So I put my wrench to open the thing. I look at her and she's shivering. I said, what's the matter? Oh, you're going to break the pipe. Get out of here. Go worry somewhere else. You know, you're making me afraid to touch that thing. You know, why worry about if it breaks, we fix it. Right? I know, good night. You know, if it breaks, you fix it up. That's what you work for. You got the money, you pay, and I'm done with it. So why worry? So why worry when God is in control? Number two, why worry when it doesn't help? Look at verse 27. It says, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit into his stature? See, Jesus addresses this very explicitly in verse 27. This is a rhetorical question right here, meaning that it doesn't need an answer. The obvious answer is no. You cannot add a single moment to your life by worry. You cannot add to. You cannot add a single minute to your life. You will die in the right time and the right moment. You will die at the right century, at the right decade, at the right year, at the right hour, at the right minute, at the right second. When God says, it is over, it is over. You can't stress, you can't worry, you can't lose sleep. And you know, some people worry about dying. Listen, why worry about it? You're going to die anywhere. And people, oh, well, I don't want to die. I was like, guess what? You will die. You're going to die. I mean, I'm telling you, I have people like, oh, I know, I almost died over there. I don't want to die. Dude, if you don't die today, you're going to die tomorrow. You will die. You cannot add another day to your life unless God allows that to happen. People don't understand they have an appointment with their maker. You can stress what you want. You can worry what you want. When the day comes, you will depart. You have an appointment with your maker, and you will depart at the right time, at the right moment. So letter A, the truth about worry. Worry cannot add a single dollar to your bank account. Worry cannot add a single point on your GPA. Worry cannot impress your boss. Worry cannot help your kids behave better. Worry cannot increase your church attendance or help you preaching. Oh, it goes to me. Worry cannot strengthen your marriage. Worry cannot help any of us. Nothing of those things. Worry cannot help anything. The only thing it does, it makes you sick. That's what it can do. Worry cannot help about anything. Let it be. The effects of worry. Whenever did you know that worry can have negative effects on your life? Worry can damage your health. Talk to doctors. Worry can damage your health. Many people take all kinds of medicine because they're all worried and worried and worried and don't stop being worried. Worry can damage your relationships. Worry can rob your joy for the Lord. Worry can rob opportunities. Our worry can affect ourselves. Our worry can affect others. Our worry can affect our relationship with God as well. So worry only has negative effects. So if worry has negative effects, why worry? But you don't understand, Pastor. It's just my trade. I just like to worry. Really? One might respond, Pastor, if I don't worry, I don't get important stuff done. Let me point out that it is a genuine place for concern. Concern and worry are different. Amen. You might be concerned about something that needs to be done, but worry is the opposite of concern. If you're concerned about something, you do it. Worry just worries. Nothing gets done. You follow what I'm saying here? Let us see the difference of worry and concern. We see in verse 34. Concern acknowledges that something needs careful attention or thought. Worry, on the other hand, is given to consume fear. Concern gives away to planning. Worry gives that away in fear. Concern leads to healthy attention. Worry leads to unhealthy anxiety. Concern moves you into action. Worry immobilizes you. Planning for tomorrow is time well spent. Worry about tomorrow is time wasted. You follow that? Concern helps to do something about it. Worry simply does nothing about it. That's when people, they just worry about it. Oh, I'm worried about it. What are you going to do about it? Oh, I'm worried about it. Oh, do something about it. You don't understand. I'm worried about it. Nothing gets done. Why losing sleep worrying about something that can be fixed in the morning? Okay, so you go to sleep. Oh, I got to go cut my grass tomorrow morning. I got to cut the grass. And all night, you find yourself walking. I got to cut the right way. The lawnmower got to go this way. Oh, do it in the morning. Actually, start practice that thing in the morning. Don't lose sleep, because in the morning when you get up, you go, huh? You know, you can't do it because you're so tired. And people do that. They lose sleep all night long because they have to cut the grass in the morning. What about if it rains in the morning? And you get up and it's pouring rain. You go, ha, ha, ha. I'm glad it's raining. I think Joseph is like that. When it rains, he loves it. Oh, goodness. So why worry when you can't trust God with the outcome? Why worry? You see, look what it says in Matthew verse 34. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So each day has enough to occupy our minds. Why would we want to add any worry to what we already have for the day? Listen, we got to be concerned. We make plans and everything. It's healthy. But worry about those things, it's not healthy. So worry and anxiety has no positive effect, only negative effects. No need to worry because it doesn't help. Worry does not help you. Number 3, why worry when God knows what you need? Verse 26, Jesus gives us two primary examples from nature to prove this point to us. First, he gives the example of the birds in the air. Look at verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither they reap, nor gather into their barns, yet your heavenly Father feed them. Are we not much better than they? I think there is a very little explanation in this point right here. Jesus is the masterful teacher here, so we understand that he's saying here, right here, the birds and other animals, for this matter, have plenty of food to eat everywhere in this world. They don't go hungry. God always provides for them. Actually, you rarely ever hear of wildlife dying of starvation. They find the things to eat. God's natural created order has provision built for the feeding of His creatures. God provides for His creation. Interesting. For an example, where I live, I see one time it was a lot of snow in my backyard. I saw a deer try to get the bark out of the tree. God provides. The animals, you know, God, I didn't see the deer die. So, God provides. Why worry? So, if God provides for His creation, how much more God provides for the pinnacle of His creation, the human beings, the human race? Jesus asked, why are you, aren't you worth more than they? The emphatic answer is, yes, we are worth more than they. Jesus didn't die for the animals. Jesus died for human beings. You know, there's a movie out there that says all dogs go into heaven. Okay. Jesus didn't die for animals. He died for the human race. So we are worth more than the rest of creation. God knows what we need more than we know that we need for ourselves. Our culture may be losing its value for human life, but the rest assured that God has not lost it. People look at people and they see a guy sleeping on the streets and say, that's a nobody there. Look at that. But God looks at that individual and says, that's somebody there. Amen. I can raise that person up and make that person the highest person on this world because that's my creation. If we look at the human race through the eyes of God, I tell you what, racism will be gone. The problem of racism is the problem of the heart of mankind. God loves all people, no matter what color you have, what language you speak. God loves all. See, you see right here, God knows what you need before you even ask. You are His prized possession. We are His people. We are His favor in all the universe. God gives us the second example in verse 28 to verse 30. Here, look what it says in verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet, I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God says, even Solomon with all of his riches didn't have beauty like the lilies. Jesus points here is not about exactly which flower is adorned the best, but that God adorns the flower of the field. Again, the point here translates every easy for us. If God can clothe the flowers of the field, the lesser part of creation, when he clothed his own creation, the human race, you know what? We have to come to a point in our lives that we have to believe that God can take care of us. The lost people of this world, they look at God and say, He's the man upstairs. He's the old guy upstairs. He's very far away from the affairs of man. That's the way they think. I hope you don't think of God this way as a Christian. The God that I know is a God that provides, is the God that is there, is the God that loves me. Why do I worry? I don't have to worry. There's concern, but worry is a different thing. So do you see, do we trust God in this manner? Do you trust God with the things of your life? Do you trust that God can provide for you? Do you trust that God knows what is best for you? He is our Creator, and those of us who know Him should trust Him. So why worry when we can trust God? Everything we need comes from Him. James tells us this way in the book of James. Look what it says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of lights, which whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Food, clothing, money, family, faith, love, grace, forgiveness, and all comes from our great Creator. It all comes from God. Towards the end of verse 30, Jesus even challenged our faith in this, ye of little faith. God says to you and me, if you don't do this, if you don't focus on me, if you worry, your faith is small. Listen, it is in those moments of concern that it expresses the amount of faith that we have. The measure of our faith is measured in those moments. And let me tell you, and when we worry about everything, we show God that we have no faith in Him. If the focus of our lives is on only the things in this life, you have a faith problem. We are concerned with our focus. If our concern focuses in our finances and our fashions, but is not focused on Jesus, then I tell you what, we have a faith problem. Look what it says in verse 33. I think this is the key of this passage right here. Look what it says. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See what God says? You worried about everything in life. But I say to you, seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And God says, and I will add all those things to you. You don't have to worry about it. See, our focus is on the world and in the things of this world, and we focus on those things, and we say we love God. Oh yeah, I love God. But our mind is not in God, it's on the things of this world. So, why worry when God is in control? Why worry when it doesn't help? Why worry when God knows what you need? Number four, why worry when we have God? Why worry when we have God? When there is something in our lives that takes precedence over lesser things, then usually causes us to be concerned with the lesser things. For an example, like in your car. I'll give you this example. Okay. So you have your car. Okay. And let's say your radio doesn't work. You're thinking about fixing your radio, then your transmission breaks down. What are you going to fix first? There you go. Oh, no, no, I'm going to fix the radio because I listen to music. Oh, you silly. You need a transmission for some common sense, right? So a lot of times this we need to fix is our minds and take our minds away from the world and put it on God, and God can fix our problems. Thing is, we don't believe that many times. We don't believe that God can fix our problems. We say with those lips of ours, God can fix everything. What about if we say, God can fix my problems? Why worried when we have God? Look what it says in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Some people get up in the morning, the first thing they want is coffee. Listen, for 2 days I don't drink. I drink but water all day long. What happened to the coffee and the tea? You don't have to have it. But some people say, if I don't have my coffee in the morning, I'll be grumpy all day. No, that's an attitude. That's an attitude. That's, you don't have to. Listen, you were not born drinking coffee. But some people, that is the excuse. No, that's an attitude of the mind. I have to have my coffee or else I'm going to be grumpy all day and you have to put up with me. Wow. Where's God in all that? What about tomorrow there'll be no more coffee? If they buy the coffee companies going on strike, then what? What about Dunkin' Donuts going on strike? We have a problem. Jennifer, I hope not. Well, Jennifer's all worried already. See about worry? There he goes. Oh, goodness. So Jesus is telling us that there are more to life than food and clothes and any other physical necessities. Jesus didn't say that these things don't matter. Jesus didn't say that not to be concerned about those things. Jesus didn't say that don't work for those things. We have to work for clothes. We have to work to have food. We have to work to have a roof over our heads. We have to work for those things. But don't worry about them. What Jesus is saying here is that life is more than these things. There's something greater than these things. There's something else that should really consume our focus. Our focus should be on God, and God will provide the other things. Then he tells us that the greater thing is, seek first the kingdom of God. When we do seek God in His way, first and foremost, these things will work it out. Why worry when things work? You know how many times we go to bed worried about something. Oh, something's going to happen in the morning. And the next day you get up and the sun comes up. Everything is fine. And you go, I lost a nice night of sleep. And for what? Ever been there? I think all of us been there at least one time. I'll give you an example. Well, I don't know if it was worried or concerned. If he was worried. If I say to people, some people say it was worried. So I work with things that are very expensive. So I was sitting at home and suddenly it hit me. I think I built that thing wrong. It suddenly goes, this is like Saturday. I'm like, oh. And I sit in bed late at night and I'm thinking about it. Oh, boy. When I get home, we went to work on Monday. This is not going to be good. Then it dawned on me. Hey, you ding dong. Why in the world do you worry about this thing? You don't have to get to work until Monday. Fix it when you get there. Oh, yeah, Lord. Go to sleep. Of course. You know, when I got there Monday, there was nothing wrong. It was just my mind playing tricks on me. But it's easy to do that. All of us go through that. So Jesus said, trust me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and God would bring all these things to pass. Get your priorities straight, and everything else will fall into place. We need to recalibrate refocus our life on what is most important to us. What is the thing that you need to focus your eyes this morning? I think what we need to do is not to think like the lost people of this world, but to focus on Jesus. Listen, folks, our world is going crazy. Look at the condition of our world. Our world's going crazy. But let me tell you, focus on Jesus.
Amen.
Focus on Him. Remember in this context, the Gentiles mean the non-Jewish of godless or lost people. Jesus says that the lost people of this world have their own priorities on the things of this world. Our priorities should not be in the things of this world. Listen. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have this, you shouldn't have that, you shouldn't work for this, you shouldn't work for that. You work for those things. You understand what I'm saying here. What I'm saying here is don't worry about those things. So if you don't have a new car by next week, so if you don't have this Cadillac brand new, spotless new next year that you dream about, why are you going to worry about? Why are you going to get depressed about it because you can't afford? Big deal. If you don't have a car, have a bicycle. If you don't have a bicycle, have your legs. I mean, if you can't take a car, take the bus. I mean, you know, good night. I remember when I lived in the islands, we used to walk 45 minutes to 1 hour to go to work. Today, if we walk 5 minutes, we think it's like life is not fair to me. So we go down to a convenience store. It's like 2 seconds from the house. We have to take the car. Well, if you have the car, good for you. But if you have the car, walk. So we feel like we're destitute of things. No, don't worry about it. So let's look at point number five here. Why worry when you can trust God with the outcome? The Bible clearly teaches that Christians ought not to worry. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, we are commanded not to do that. Actually, go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. I want you to see something there. Philippians 4, verse 6. Look what it says. It says, but be careful for nothing. Don't worry about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So, you're going to about to be worried about something? Give it to the Lord. Does He say, cast your care, all your care upon Him, for He careth for you? Cast all your anxiety, cast all your problems, cast all your worries on Him, because He will help you. He loves you enough to take care of you. I mean, if you go to a friend and say, I'm so worried about something, your friend tried to console you and help you, guess what? You walk out of there with the same worry. With God, we can give it to Him. So since worry should not be part of the believer's life, how does one overcome worry? Look what it says. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Here we instruct, it says, and cast all your cares upon Him for He careth for you. So how do you overcome worry in our lives? Give it to Jesus. Isn't that simple? Give it to the Lord. So you're concerned about this issue, you're concerned about that issue, give it to Jesus. He will take care of you. Oh, I lost my job. Oh, I don't have this. I don't have that. I need this. Give it to the Lord. Why worry sick about it? God doesn't want us to carry around the weight of problems and burdens of life and worry about it. Because ultimately, medically speaking, worry can make you sick. And there are many people that because of worry suffer from anxiety and stress and all that comes up. And let me tell you, and other problems, health problems come around because of that. And some of them are taking this magical pill because they don't stop worrying. You know what? When we worry, we don't trust. It comes down to that. When we worry about everything, we literally don't trust. You can say what you want. You can say, I trust God. No, you don't.
Right.
If we worry about something, we're not trusting God. Give it to the Lord. At least I learned to do that. I think all of us are capable of doing that.
Yep.
God doesn't want you to go wander around. God wants you to have the joy of the Lord in your heart. And live your life day to day, trusting Him, believing in Him. And when things don't make sense, you say, Lord, it doesn't make sense to me, but I'm trusting You. The Bible says, it is because He cares and He loves you. God is concerned about everything that happens to you. God cares about you. Oh, Pastor, it's easy for you to say that. No, God says in His Word that He loves you, that He cares about you. God is concerned about you. No worry is too big or too small for His attention. He knows where you are. He knows your struggles. He knows your problems. He knows your concerns. He knows your worries. And He cares about it. Why worry? And Jesus expresses there. Look what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, question. How can you have the peace of God in your heart when you worry? It's a logical thing to ask, isn't it? Yes, I have the peace of the Lord in my heart. And why you worry? You're not at peace. You literally are at war with your mind. Of course, those who do not know the Savior worried and have anxiety, and it will be part of their life, of course. But those who have been given their lives to the Lord Jesus should not worry. Look what it says. Go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, about the subject of, well, look what Jesus said. Come unto me all. Who's all? Everyone that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you what? Rest. You see, is your mind full of stuff? Go to Jesus. Give it to Him and rest your mind in Him. Focus on Him. Are you heavy? I mean, are you tired of the labor and your body is physically tired? Go to Jesus. He will give you rest. He says right here, come unto me all. Look what it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God says to you and me, come to me, child. Focus on me. Come to me. Give it to me. I love you enough to give you. Oh, goodness. That's a wonderful place to be, isn't it? Not just we focus our lives on Jesus as I preached last week, but stay focused on Him. Why worry? God says, are you tired of the journey? Is your burden so heavy? Are you worried about all kinds of things and situations? Why worry? Didn't Jesus say, Martha, Martha, why are you so concerned about the affairs of life and cleaning the house and all that? Look at your sister. You're going to have me for a little time. Your sister chose the best thing. Why don't you do the same? And Martha, Jesus, you don't understand. This house is all full of dust. It needs to be swept. I need to clean this house. He's worried. That's worry. You know what? The dust will be there tomorrow again. And you clean it again and come back again. Goodness, I grew up in a house where my mom is a clean freak. You can put the food on the floor and eat right on the floor. I tell you what, I love that of my mom, but I tell you what, she worries about that clean stuff. I don't know, pick up that. Oh. The next day, oh. So, Mom, come on. Sometimes I purposely used to make, just to get my mom going when I was a kid. My mom, you did that purposely. Oh, I would never do that, Mom. Oh, I did. That was guilty as the day goes long. But I mean, you know, we worried about those things. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, why are you so concerned about that? Relax for a little time. Enjoy the situation. Enjoy the time. I'm here in your house. Enjoy. There's a time for everything in life, isn't it? Is it Solomon said that. Is it time to laugh? Is it time to cry? Is it time to rejoice? Is it time to be sad? Is it time for everything in life? We need to schedule our times. Why? Worry should not occupy time in our lives. Because it doesn't help anything. All right. Okay, so let's say I have a ladder outside. Let's say we have a leak in the roof. I put a ladder out. And everybody's worried about the water coming in bucket. And we'll sit down and worry. Oh, no, we're going to have a flood in here. Oh, no, look at that. Look at that water coming down. 3 hours later, everybody's like, oh. Is it going to help? No. The ladder's out there. Who's going to go up? Somebody needs to go and fix the leak. See, worry doesn't fix anything. Worry just sits around and feels sorry for himself. Just worry right there. Yes, it's doing good. Worry there. You do. Worry over there. The lid just falling. It's okay. Just let's worry. Oh, look at the one. Oh, worry. It doesn't fix itself. We need to do something about it. All right? Number six. Why worry when God can help me? Why worry? Look at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, for your body, what ye shall put on, is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Folks, this world is full of all kinds of circumstances. And we find ourselves in all kinds of trouble, trials, tribulations, and not consume us with worry. Worry is not foreign to any person in this room. All of us worry about something sometime. Everybody worries about something, but we don't have to. So what do you do when we find ourselves in our minds submerged in worry? What do you do? What should we do? You want to do that? Letter A, focus on Jesus. When you find yourself worried, focus on Jesus. I say, I'm focused on Jesus. Pick up His Word and read it. Empty your mind of the problem and get something in. Here's one thing I learned when I stopped playing music. I mean, maybe Chrissy probably the best one I can emphasize with that because she's a musician. When I was playing a marching band, one thing that helped me a lot of times. I was a teenager when I was playing the marching band, and one thing that I learned, because I had an instrument in my house, when I began to play music, I used to forget the problems. They used to go away because I was so focused on the notes, focused on playing, focused in. And it helped me many times. My teenage years, I played in a marching band, and it helped me tremendously. Now, by focusing on the music, I believe you agree with me on that. Yeah, because you focus on the music, you're not focused. It seems like the problems just go away. Well, some people, when they're worried and concerned and full of anxiety, you know what they do? They go to the local bar, and they want to forget their problems in a booze. But you know, it gets worse. It doesn't get better. But focus on Jesus. I tell you what, when we begin to experience anxiety and worry, guess what? Open His Word. Submerge your mind into God's Word. Read it. Study. Try to understand what He says. Guess what? You're going to forget those things. God's going to put a peace in your heart. And you say, Pastor, how do you know that? I learned from experience. I have done it. I just sit down and read God's Word. Listen, folks, I'm a human being just like you are. If I don't be careful, I'll worry just like you do. You know what I do? I get God's Word. I read it. You know one of the things in my job sometimes that it gives you a chill? Like I said, we work with thousands of dollars. Everything is so expensive. Everything is like $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. If you make a mistake, you make that much money, that big of a mistake. Somebody comes to you and says, hey, there's a job over there you need to take a look at. It gives you a chill from the bottom of the foot all up to your head. Oh, what I've done wrong. And you know what I learned to do? God's Word. Lord, I don't know what I've done. I hope it's not that bad. And sometimes just simply as I miss a number, and you go, yes, God, thank you. So why are you worried? The other day somebody called me, hey, I need to come over here. This is the job you did. I was like, oh. I go over there. Yeah, one number. I look at him, I smile. Walk away. Well, because, you know, you're concerned about because the amount of money that is involved in it. But what we need to do, focus on Jesus. We need to focus on Jesus. Don't let the circumstances dictate your life. Don't let troubles overwhelm you. Don't let other people's problems worry you. Listen, folks, other people's problems is other people's problems. You follow that? Listen, you can try to help. You can go out of your way to help them. But ultimately, that's their problem. You follow that? You can say, I love you. I'm here for you. If you need help, I'm here. But ultimately, that's their problem. So don't worry about other people's problems. It's not healthy. Because ultimately, you know why? You worry about something and they do totally the opposite of what you were thinking. And you go, oh, I worry for nothing. Yes, you did. Some people do good work finding things to worry about. They go from one worry to another worry. What they don't understand is they are hurting themselves in many ways. Spiritually, it's not good to worry about anything and everything. Physically, worry about everything brings up all kinds of health issues. Focus on Jesus, not on your worries. day by day, focus on Jesus. Number two, what you should do about getting rid of worry. Trust in Jesus. Go to Psalm 62, verse 8. Why worry when I can trust? Look what it says. Trust in Him at all times. When should we trust the Lord? At all times. Trust Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not in thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. What God says, in times of worry, we should do. We should trust God. Don't worry. Lord, I can't sleep. Trust me, child. Go to sleep. Close your eyes. Go to sleep. Put this thing behind your mind. Folks, if we say that we trust God with those lips of ours, but we are consumed with worry, such trust is not trust at all. It's not trust at all. It's like me. All right, you see my bad driving. I'm driving here. I'm swinging everywhere. And I say to you, hey, you want to go down the street, get a cup of coffee? Oh, sure. Want to get in my car? Oh, no. Oh, don't you trust me? Oh, I trust you, but I won't get in your car. What are you telling me? And you don't trust me. Right? I trust you with your lips, but you're not trusting me with your actions. Sometimes we say the same thing. I trust God, but only with those lips of ours. We don't trust Him with our lives. Like Paul, we have to come to the point in our lives where we trust the Lord in such a way that we are content right where we are. And this contentment is part of our trust in Him. The words of Jesus, take no thought for your life, literally means don't worry. Don't worry. So trust Jesus. Let us see. Have faith in Jesus. Have faith in Jesus. What faith does? Faith trusts. Faith walks. Faith moves. Faith believes. Faith does all those things. Look what it says in Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answered, said unto him, have faith in God. So, when you worry, what happens? You're not having faith in God. You can say, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I have faith in God. And if you worry, let me tell you, though, your faith is about this small. Faith is the way the Christian life is to be lived. The Christian life is a life of faith in the promise of God. Let me ask you this question. Does God always come through with His promises? Yes, He does. And if He does, why are you worried? That's a good question, isn't it? If God is faithful with His promises, is this thing right here. If God is always faithful with His promises, why are we worried? Don't worry about when Jesus is going to come. Jesus, come today. This world is just getting worse and worse. I'm so worried about what's going to happen. He's going to come in His own time. Amen. It doesn't matter if you worry or not. He's coming in God's time. So why we worry? Don't worry. I mean, He's coming as a promise. He's going to come. He's as a promise. Worry about it doesn't make Him come any faster. It's coming at the right time. So I conclude with this. Should we be concerned with the things of this world? Yes. We need to plan and work and take care of ourselves and families. But to do that, you don't have to worry. Should we be worried about the things of this world? No. We should seek God and His ways and rest. And rest. The rest will work out. I'm sorry. We need to focus on God more. Jesus tells us three times in this passage, do not worry about, or do not be anxious about those things. Do you think this is important when He says it three times? Yes, He does. I think I put it like this. I learned this way from another preacher. He says, when God says it twice, you should pay attention. When God says it three times, you really should pay attention. And I think it's true. Why worry when God still sits on a throne? Why worry when God's still in control? Why worry? Listen, I got to worry because I have to pay my bills. Guess what? You pay them and they come back again. And you pay them and they come back again. So why worry? Just pay them. And if you can't pay them, just call them up and find a way that you can make payments or whatever. It's always a solution. The thing is, we just worry around and we don't get nothing done. Don't do that. Be proactive. Concern is one thing. Worry is another. Sometimes they get confused at home. Some people say, oh, you're worried. I'm not worried. I'm just concerned. And they don't know how to distinguish between one and the other. Oh, Dad, you're worried. No, I'm concerned. Concern is one thing. Worry is another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Lord, you're very black and white the way you say it there, for us not to worry, but to trust you. And help us, Lord, not to worry. Lord, life is full of troubles and circumstances and events. And Lord, many times we got caught in the middle of many of them. But help us, Lord, to learn not to worry about those things. I pray, Father, if there's someone here, Lord, that never received Jesus Christ as personal Savior, may today, Lord, they will call upon you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray.